Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for this podcast. I'm getting pretty good at saying that now. It's been 178 podcasts. I should be getting good at it, they say. But anyway, we're really excited today to have an amazing lady on board. Now, I'm just going to read you her bio because once I read that bio, that was when I realized I need to have this lady on. We need to have this lady on. Come on. So her name is Leslie Lindsay Davis, and she is a five-time author, almost six, so she's got the next book in the run. Her first book, You Can't Eat Love, How Learning to Love Yourself Can Change Your Relationship with Food, is an Amazon top 20 in at least two categories since it was released in January. So like so many, it took a moment of extreme sadness for Leslie to realize something had to change. She began on a journey to fix what she thought was broken. That was when she discovered the myself size hole in her heart. That was when she realized she was not broken, just uninformed. She did not know how to love herself. Now Leslie is on a mission to help others find their why, to go on their journey of self-discovery, introduce them to their very best friend in the whole wide world, learn to love themselves, and live their best life. Now, can you imagine? I started reading that and I thought, oh my goodness, I need to have this lady on board. She is amazing. So please welcome Leslie to the podcast. Hi, Leslie.
Hello, hello, Susan Jane. I am so excited. I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be here with you. I love your podcast. I feel like I'm talking to myself when I'm listening to it.
Oh, okay. I think that's a good thing. Yeah. it's so good to have you on board. Now, there's another story behind that, and I know it involved a lot of weight loss, didn't it? And that's why you had to discover what that connection was between eating and loving the self. So let's go back to the start and just give the audience a bit of an understanding of who you are and how you got to where you are now.
Well, I, like you know, a lot of your listeners, I am just a regular person, but like so many other people, I had one of those devastating moments in my life, and it actually was when my oldest son and his wife decided they didn't want to have a relationship with me, you know, for whatever reason. And I realized, you know, I was just at the bottom of the bottom, and I needed to make a choice. I had to make a choice. I could either keep going the way that I was, or do something different. And I decided I was going to do something different. Now, I will be very honest with you. If I'd have known how hard it was going to be, I don't know if I would have gone on the journey. But you know, like so many things, we don't know how hard it is until we're looking back. So I went on a journey and I thought that I was broken. I thought that I was unlovable. I thought that I was undeserving. I thought that I was all those many things that so many of us think, because based on what other people tell us, and we've come to believe that we are unlovable and unworthy, we start doing things so that we can stop the pain. And when I'm talking about the pain, I'm talking about the internal emotional pain. Because, you know, when we feel unloved and unworthy, we start seeking out love from other places. And what I discovered, long story short, what I discovered was I was not broken, I was not unworthy, and I was not unlovable. But I had to learn to love myself first before I could expect anyone else to love me. And as a consequence of that, I recognized that I was using food as what I call my drug of choice to numb pain. And once I started learning to love myself, the need for that drug of choice started releasing itself. And as a result, I was able to lose and keep off almost 100 pounds.
Wow, that's amazing. So when you say you realized that the food was your drug of choice, what was that like? What did that feel like? Like, what were those triggering signs or ideas that you had that maybe somebody else could be experiencing the same?
Well, so many times, for example, if I would be feeling sad about something, I have holidays that I don't like, I have people that I don't like, you know, different things can make me sad, opportunities that I've missed. Mother's Day makes me sad because my own mother died 37 years ago. And so when I'd be feeling sad, it'd be like, you know, I've got to stop the pain. I need to stop this pain because I didn't know how to sit in the feeling. And the only thing that I knew that I could do to stop the pain was to eat. And so, a whole bag of barbecue potato chips with onion dip, you know, that would solve the problem, wouldn't it? Well, yes and no. It would solve the problem for a moment, but then it would set off a whole nother problem, and that was shame. So I didn't know how to sit in emotions. I didn't want to sit in emotions. I didn't want to feel. And how many other people do you hear? I'm a stress eater. Well, you're defining yourself by something that you really don't need to be defining yourself by. And I know that sounds like a convoluted sentence, but when we start saying I am something, then it becomes reality. So instead, I would say, I learned to say, I have a tendency to eat or to want to eat when I'm feeling stressed. I have a tendency to want to eat when I'm feeling sad. Okay, so then that can open up a conversation. Why is it that I'm looking for the food instead of just thinking about what is going on that I am feeling sad? What is going on that I am feeling stressed? So I learned, you know, to stop defining myself as a stress eater. And I can't tell you how many times I hear people say that, and I just want to say, no, don't define yourself that way. Do not define yourself that way, because you are so much more. You're an amazing person. You're not a stress eater.
Yeah, and I think the thing is too, because it's all about that awareness, isn't it? You're talking about awareness of what's happening. And when somebody says, oh, I'm a stress eater, they've created that awareness, but they've sat in that instead of going to the next sort of stage. So that awareness is getting an understanding that, okay, when Mother's, like for yourself, when Mother's Day hits, it's a downer for you. It's upsetting for you, and you go to the fridge or you go to the pantry. And it's like, don't stop doing that. Just become aware of it to start with. That's your first sort of step to go, right, well, that's what I'm doing. That's how I'm coping. All right, you know, it's that glass of wine in the evening to cope with things. That's what I'm doing. So, all right, I'm not necessarily going to stop it. I'm just going to now become more aware of how often I'm doing it and what those triggers are that are causing me to do that. And that's what you're saying there. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. Because as we become aware of the words that we are using, they become self-fulfilling prophecies. And when things become self-fulfilling prophecies, well, then it becomes easier to continue doing the things that we really don't want to do. Because truthfully, I didn't want to have the extra weight on. And yet, allowing myself to say, I'm a stress eater. I eat when I feel, you know, like I can't cope with the emotion. Instead of saying, you know what, the emotions are hard for me, and I'm looking towards something to help me relieve the pain. Let me just start looking at why these emotions are hard for me. And one of the things that I started doing was I started having written conversations with myself, because I found that those were way more productive than just having a conversation inside my head. And I discovered that our primary objective when we start changing these thought patterns is to do what I call get the hamsters off the wheel, send them back to the pet store, and let's put the pet store out of business because they've got so many hamsters. But having a written conversation was way more productive than letting the crazy hamsters run around on their wheels inside my head.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So what you've done then is you've gone through your awareness, you've got an understanding of what that is, and then you're starting to put some things into action. So the first thing is, again, the thought patterns. It's still part of the awareness, but the thought patterns are coming in and you're letting them go. Are you letting them go? Or are you sitting with them? How are you working with that?
Well, what I usually do is I just start having a conversation with myself as if I am having a conversation with myself. For example, the other day, I was feeling very sad about something. And I said, you know, I was feeling really sad about this. And what I really wanted to do was I wanted to make a whole pan of brownies and eat the whole pan of brownies. But you know what? I am so proud of you because you did not make that pan of brownies. That was incredible. I am so proud of you. So now tell me, how come you were feeling so sad? And so then I started, you know, just kind of back and forth with the I's and the U's. And I figured out exactly what it was that I was feeling sad about. And what it ended up being was that I was regretting. I was regretting, you know, that the past wasn't different. And, you know, we can't do anything about the past. The past is gone. We can't do anything about the future. Absolutely nothing about the future. The only thing we can do anything about is right now. And so once I acknowledged, well, yes, I can see why you would be regretting the past, but, you know, it is what it is. And so it's okay to be sad about it. And that was just, you know, this written conversation with myself, which was way more productive.
Wow. And especially seeing it in writing too, not just in your head. Like I said, you got the hamsters out and you start writing it down. You start to actually see where that conversation is going and where it could go. Like it could go straight back down to the pantry, straight back down to the fridge. But you're not, you're sitting there going, no, let's have another look at that. Let's go into it a little bit deeper and discover what it really, really, really is, what it's about. And I love that you're saying, oh, I'm so proud of you, because we don't talk to ourselves positively enough, do we?
No, we don't. And that was one of the first things that I started doing when I went on this journey, was I started celebrating the little teeny, tiny things, because I recognized the more I celebrated the little teeny, tiny things, the easier it was going to be to make those changes. Because truthfully, think about this. When we give positive affirmation to somebody about something that they've done, they have a tendency to do it again. So the same thing works for us. And what I discovered was the people around me were not going to be celebrating or willing to tell me how amazing I was as often as I desired them to do it. So I simply left them out of the equation. I didn't ask them to celebrate with me. I didn't tell them what I was doing, anything like that. What I did was I celebrated myself, and I would celebrate myself over all kinds of things. For example, just yesterday, I celebrated the fact that actually this morning, I didn't really feel like going to the gym because the weather was about to turn really, really nasty. And I knew that I needed to go to the gym. And so I said, you know something, just, you know, put your shoes on, you're already dressed, go to the gym. It's only 5 minutes away, get there and, you know, finish your feel and get home. And about halfway through, myself said to myself, now, aren't you glad you're here? And I was like, oh, yes, I am so glad I'm here. I am so glad you convinced me to go. This is just amazing. And the whole drive home, I was like, see, you made it home before the storm got in and you feel really good. And this is awesome. And that's how I talk to myself. I know it sounds crazy, but you know what? If we are expecting other people to cheer us on all the time, we are going to be very sadly disappointed.
Oh, you know what's so special about this, Leslie, is that the way I define intuition is it's the communication between our spiritual self and our physical self. And when you're talking to yourself like that, I see that as you're talking to your intuition. And so I just see that as gold. That is just so what we need to do. And the strength is within us. The strength is in that. It's not in what everyone else externally is saying. That's the cherry. That's fine. We can handle that. But the reality, the real stuff is within us. And if we haven't got that, then like you say, we can't expect people to love us if we can't love us.
Right, because we teach other people how to treat us. And I was cheering the other day. I was walking and listening to you, and you were, you know, talking about the spiritual self and the physical self. And I was cheering. I was like, yes, Susan Jane, you got it. Because, no, I mean, the connection is just so strong. But we teach other people how to treat us. So let's stop and think about that. If we do not love ourselves and believe ourselves to be worthy of the very, very best that the world has to give us, then what are we telling people who are around us with regard to how they can treat us? We are giving them permission to treat us just as badly as we are treating ourselves. And then what is so crazy is we're like, wait, why are they treating me so badly? Why is it they're taking me for granted? Why are they doing all these things? Well, the reason is, that's what we've taught them. We've given them permission to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not until we change before anyone else will do that. And people don't understand that. But that is so, that's the core essence of it. We have to love ourselves. We have to treat ourselves as we would like others to treat us.
So, well, yeah. And then to add on to that, a discovery that I made, and it was just really, you know, gobsmacked me. And, you know, people who already know this, they can say it took you this long. Yes, you know, some people are slow learners. The thing that I discovered is I only have control of me. I have absolutely zero control over anyone else, regardless of all the control freaks out there. You have no control over anyone other than yourself. If you think about it, a tiny baby, the only thing you have any control over with that baby is where you set that baby down. You have no control over when it eats, sleeps, does anything else, because they are in control of them. So once I began accepting the only person I could do anything about was me, then I started focusing on what I wanted, what my wishes, what my desires were, what I believed to be the outcome that I deserved. And then the people around me started noticing that things were changing. You know, for example, I wouldn't accept some people talking to me in a certain way, or I wouldn't accept, you know, if we went to a restaurant or if we were going to a restaurant, I wouldn't accept going to ones that I didn't really enjoy. So I started taking things in control, and the people around me started noticing, and my husband was like, he didn't really like it too much, but I'll be very honest and clear. People who are closest to us, they do not like it when we start changing. And the reason is they have to do something.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that I found when I was changing. The friends that I used to have around me, we just didn't connect anymore. The things that they wanted to talk about, the things they wanted to do, the things they wanted to be didn't sit well with me, and I just couldn't go there. There was a few that were really, really negative, and all they did was bitch and whinge about everyone else. It was real gossipy, and I went, you know what, I don't want to be part of that. That is not what I want to be and how I want to be. And I did. I actually had to almost turn over lots of friends that I thought were friends. Then there was a few that changed with me that actually liked those changes. And they started going, yeah, I don't want to sit there and whinge and bitch about somebody. I'm happy to let's go and create something. Let's go and draw. Let's go and do this. Go and do that. And became more positive in their life. So, yes, you do. And one of the hardest things, and I think this is where relationships fall down, is that when you're starting to be honest and true to yourself, if your partner isn't doesn't like that, the change has become too much and they feel like they're losing control, that's when relationships will break down. And that was one of the reasons why my relationship broke down, is because of me changing and me going, no, I'm not going to tolerate that anymore. You do not talk to me like that. You do not treat me like that. I don't deserve that. No one does. And of course, that just put a wedge in that relationship. So if you've got a good relationship, you know, hold on to it and talk it through and get through it. But yeah, it's not always going to be nice. It's going to be a bit sticky, isn't it?
Well, it's going to be very sticky. And I had to be convicted enough in my belief as to what I wanted to do to be able to withstand the people that started pulling away from me. Because as you said, I didn't want that energy in my life. I didn't need that energy in my life. Because when we stop and we really think about this, the things that are coming into our minds, they do go down into our hearts and then they come out of our mouths. That's one of the reasons why I quit watching the news. I don't want that negativity coming into my life. So when we start pruning, or actually they prune themselves, is what happens when, you know, when people that are not aligned with who we are being true to be, they will prune themselves from us, and we have to release them instead of holding on to them. Because at the end of the day, you want to be the very best you that you possibly can be. And at the end of the day, you want to be looking at yourself in the mirror and you want to say with no hesitation, without looking away, you want to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I love you just the way you are. You are the most amazing person that I know. And the way that you do that is you release those people who are not adding value to your life. Release them.
Yep. Okay, so let's just go back over that. The first part was awareness. So you became aware of what you were doing and why you were eating, and you just acknowledged that, okay, every time there was a situation, I've gone to the fridge, I've gone to the pantry, I've grabbed a glass of wine, I've grabbed snacks. So you become aware of it to start with. Once you're aware of it, you then have the opportunity to go, okay, why? You can start to reflect on it and sort of, you're not really even stopping yourself from eating. It's more about just getting an understanding of why you're doing it, because it's not what you're saying, which is what I really love, is it's not about you stopping eating or you controlling your weight. It's about you controlling your thoughts and your emotions, and the weight loss will naturally start to come in because you start to learn to love yourself. So to do that, you did the writing. You did the writing to you and to you and the I and the us and the we and however you did that. That was really good. You've actually got a little, I'll put that up in a minute. There's a little thing there that you can actually go to the website and help with this card. So you've done your mind talk in a positive manner, heart talk, whichever way you'd like to call it. So from there, we can see you're starting to do some changes. And as you're doing these changes, friends start to prune, start to move, other situations happen. And this is, it's almost like a test, isn't it, Leslie? It's like other things will happen and it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to go straight to the fridge, or are you going to sit there and go, okay, I'm feeling sad. Well, I need to work through this and start to work through it. So I can see you were doing that because you were strong enough then and you had done the work before to know that when these changes are starting to happen, what to do about it. So that was really good. But I love this idea of writing or creating a card, celebrating, almost celebrating your wins. And it doesn't matter how big they are, it's your wins, and that's what's really, really important. So I love how you do that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that celebrating the wins type thing?
Well, for example, if you're somebody who struggles with, okay, let's do a scenario. You get up in the morning and you decide, oh, it's Monday. This week, I'm going to cut down on how much bread I'm eating. And the way that I'm going to do that is I'm going to only have one slice of bread for my sandwich every day this week. Okay, great. That's good. Then write that down. This week, I'm only going to have one slice of bread on my sandwich every day that I have a sandwich. Then write down how you're going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate by running around the house like a crazy person. I'm going to celebrate by listening to my favorite song as loud as I want to. I'm going to celebrate just by saying, yes, you're so amazing. However you want to celebrate, you write it down. So then each time you make your sandwich with only one slice of bread, you celebrate doing just exactly what it was that you said you were going to do. Now, let's pretend that about Thursday, you're looking at that sandwich and you're thinking, oh my, I would really like to have this sandwich with two slices of bread. Well, don't focus on what you can't have. Remember how good it felt to celebrate and focus on what you're celebrating, how you're celebrating. Say, you know what? I want to celebrate, so I'm going to go ahead and fix my sandwich with just one slice of bread so that I can celebrate again because I enjoy doing this. And when we celebrate, what we're doing is we are making our brain happy. Our brain likes to be happy. It likes to do things that make us happy. So if you think about, people think I'm crazy, but you know what? That's okay. I am crazy. One of my favorite books is Don't Shoot the Dog. It's nothing to do with shooting animals. I don't want to hear about it from any animal rights people, but it's about training animals. And actually, the animals aren't the ones that are being trained. It's the people. Because what an animal is going to do what it's going to do. And there's some behaviors we want them to continue doing. And the way that we get them to continue doing the behaviors we want them to continue doing is we reward them. If you want your dog to touch your hand every time you put it down, you put your hand down, the dog touches the hand, you give them a reward. About the third time, the dog says, oh, wow, I'm going to get a reward every time I do this. This is pretty cool. You and your brain do the same exact thing, the same exact thing. So we reward the things we want to continue. But here is the real trick. We ignore the stuff that we don't, that we want to stop. So if on Thursday you go ahead and you have two slices of bread on your sandwich, you don't have a conversation with yourself about, oh my gosh, you blew it. You did 3 days of, you know, one slice of bread. You were going for four and oh my gosh, you know, you went ahead and you did two and oh, you should be so ashamed of yourself and all that. No, no. What you do instead is you say, oh, well, I had two slices of bread on my sandwich. It's okay. It was a choice that I made. I'm moving on. And that's it. That's the end of the discussion.
Yeah. And then, oops, hang on. Then you go back to having one slice the next day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, and then reward yourself again.
Right. Right. Because, you know, let's think about it. When little kids throw temper tantrums and we reward them with whatever it was that they were throwing a temper tantrum about, I mean, what do they learn? They learn to throw a temper tantrum, right? So we're circling back to, we teach people how to treat us.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's not right. We don't do that. I won't tolerate that. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Now I want to just bring forward now on the ticker tape, I've got, create, buy, or download a card. And this is at Leslie's website, which is www.youcan'teatlove.com. And you've got a forward slash with Susan Jane on it. And then it says to write a card to your very best friend. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What is this that you've got going?
Well, one of the first things that I did, it was kind of a ginormous aha moment. And I talk about it in the book, is around Valentine's Day, I was in the grocery store and, you know, they always have the, well, around here in the U.S., they have huge displays of Valentine's cards. You know, it's a Hallmark occasion, I think every other day or something. But I was looking at some Valentine's cards because I was getting some cards from my boys and their girlfriends. And I saw a card and I said, you know, I sure would like it if somebody were to send this card to me. It's a really pretty card and I like the message and it would really mean a lot to me if someone sent this card to me. I can just imagine how I would feel, you know, as I opened it up when I got it from the mailbox. And I started walking away and I went, wait a minute, get the card, write it to yourself and give it to yourself. And I said, oh, okay. So I got home, hurriedly put the cold stuff away in the kitchen and sat down with one of my favorite pens and the card and wrote a card, you know, wrote a long, lengthy letter in this card to myself, telling myself how amazing I was, how proud I was of myself, and, you know, how much I loved myself, and just, you know, all of these things that I would have liked to have heard from my very best friend in the whole wide world. And so I encourage people, because, you know, this goes back, we're not going to always get from other people what it is that we want, but we can always get it from ourselves. So treat yourself as if you are two people, you and your very best friend in the whole wide world. And even to this day, I will buy cards and or create them online and, you know, print them out and write long notes to myself, telling myself how amazing I am. Because, you know, sometimes we just need a card from our very best friend in the whole wide world.
Yeah, we just need that reassurance again, don't we?
We need that reassurance, that affirmation. We need to hear the things that we wish that someone would say to us. But if we were to ask for these things, they would either give them to us reluctantly or they'd be questioning, well, why are you wanting this? So just, you know, skip to the head of the line. Ask your very best friend in the whole wide world to write the card to you.
You know what, Leslie? It would be lovely to do that as a starting, when you're starting on your weight loss journey. I know, and that would be really, really challenging too. But to start your weight loss journey or any of your spiritual journey, to do that to start with and then see what it was like after, you know, even doing it yearly, like you say on Valentine's Day, and holding onto those cards and seeing how much you can change. I know when one of the things that when I went through it too was like you have to love yourself. Okay, so they said stand in the mirror work. Have you done any mirror work?
Oh,
how challenging is that? Oh, yikes. Anyway, so I stood in front of the mirror and I went, I really love you. Oh, are you sure? Could not believe it. But what I started doing was saying, you know what? You're getting better. You really are getting better. And that's what I started to do. I didn't feel comfortable saying I was there yet, but I was really comfortable saying you're getting better and better every day. I can't believe how much change there's been. And that allowed me to grow and open, because there's no way I could sit in front of the mirror and go, oh, I love you. Yeah, no, that was not working for me at all. But I could say, you know what? You're getting better. You're having a go. You're trying. Good on you. I'm proud of you.
I wish I would have had that suggestion, because I want to say it took me almost 2 years to look in the mirror. I couldn't even look in my eyes. It took me almost 2 years to be able to look in the mirror and say, I sure do love you. Because what I would do is I would try and look at my eyes, and then I would end up crying, and I'd be like, oh, this just isn't working. It's not worth it. But, you know, eventually, I began to believe that I was lovable and that I was worthy of love. And I could look at myself in the mirror and say, you know, I sure do love you. You are an amazing person. There's no one else out there like you. And I am so proud of you. And I can do it all without crying.
Yeah, that's the best part, isn't it? It's like, oh, no more tears. It's like, oh, no, I actually believe that. But that's how I started. It was like, I couldn't go with the I love you, and I couldn't do that. I'd been in a relationship so that I was emotionally beaten to a pulp, emotionally, not physically, but that sort of happened. And so for me to turn around and be able to say, no, you're getting better. You're getting better. You really are. You're getting better. And I could say that, and I believed it, and I believed it, and I believed it, and I believed it until I got to the stage where I still believe I'm getting better. Because I know we grow and develop as we go. So that was really easy. And I think if your clients or your the people that you work with, if you can turn around and get them to say, I'm getting better, I'm getting better, when they do have the hiccups, when they do grab for that packet of crisps, it's not so emotionally attacking for them.
Let's think about this. We are not going through our life. Our objective to go through our life is not to be perfect, because if we're perfect, we're rather boring. You know, perfect people are boring people. We're going through life. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to learn from those mistakes. When you learned to ride your bike, did you do it the first time? No. You know, you probably tipped and fell off or whatever, unless you're my second child who did take off without training wheels the first time. but, you know, he's an anomaly. For the most part, we're learning. And that was what I figured out the best thing for me to do when I would make a not so great choice is I would say, you know what, you made a not so great choice, but the next time you're probably going to do a little bit better, and it's okay, I forgive you, let's move on. And that's what I would do. I would forgive myself and I would move on. And I decided early on, and I tell people all the time, there is no such thing as a bad choice. There are great choices, good choices, and not so good choices. No such thing as bad choices, because we don't want to label ourselves with any kind of attacking or shaming terms. Just like we don't say, I don't say you should do X, Y, Z. No, you know, I'm making a choice. This is my choice. It's not a matter of I should or I shouldn't. And then people also will talk about cheating. I have a cheat day. I have a cheat meal. No, there are only three ways you can cheat: taxes, tests, and your significant other. So let's keep ourselves positive and moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I reckon we can put this out there to all our listeners. Now, today, jump on to youcanteatlove.com/Susan Jane. Okay, jump onto the website, create by download a card. I haven't been on there, so I don't know, but I'm going to do it too. And I'm not sure how you do it, Leslie. Do we say email it back to ourselves, or
there's a button where you'll download the card. You'll go in and you'll put your email address in, and then it'll send you to another site, and you'll download a card that you can print out. And I designed it so it'll print front and back. Mm-hmm. And then you fold the card in half, and you've got, you know, a lovely card.
Okay.
And it's so let's free. But you know, you may want to go after you do this card, you may want to say, you know what, I deserve a fancier card. So go to the grocery store the next time you're at the store, pick up a fancy card and write the card to yourself.
Yeah. But this gives us a starting point. So we can go online, send ourselves a card, and let's just see how well we can write to ourselves. And I don't mean that grammatically, because I'm not very good at that. I just mean, you know, like where we're at our stage, and just have that in front of us, and maybe look at it again in 12 months time or 6 months time, and sort of go, okay, well, now I am getting better. This is so much more advanced. So that is youcanteatlove.com/Susan Jane if you want a card for that one. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, because we are starting to get a little bit low on time, is you have got an 8-week digital course to help people start their weight loss journey, and you've got it at a sale price for $199. It's actually valued at $997, and you've got that at that youcanteatlove.com as well. Can you give us a little bit of an understanding of what this 8-week course is all about, Leslie?
Well, the 8-week course, first thing that we do is help you to understand how many calories you need to be eating so that you can lose weight. And then we start tackling, you know, the different emotions, the why you're going on the weight loss journey, what your triggers are, the saboteurs that are in your life, you know, the dear Aunt Jane who, you know, insists that you have a slice of her pie when, you know, you have made a choice to not have that slice of pie. We also talk about smart swaps, how to swap, you know, different high fat, high calorie items for lower calorie choices, and also how to meal plan. So we're going to take you on, you know, the entire journey. And one of the reasons that we put it on sale is this is the end of the year. And we believe, you know, so many people start off the beginning of the year with that New Year's resolution to lose weight. And so many people have hit October and they haven't lost the weight. So this will give you 8 weeks to really jumpstart that weight loss journey so that when New Year's comes around, you're ready to really dig in and go even further on that journey.
Wow. Oh, that's a great idea. When you were sent this to me, I sort of went, because it had holiday, and I'm thinking, oh, we're not on holidays yet, so I took that terminology out. But in fact, when we look at it now, if we do 8 weeks, especially here in Australia at the moment, because Leslie's from Texas, in Australia, they're hoping that the rest of New South Wales and Victoria, the other two states, can open by Christmas. And if you start your weight loss journey now, by Christmas and everything else, you're going to be looking hot for ready when they, you know, when we open the doors and we open all the borders and everything else again. So Australia becomes one whole instead of all these segregated little states that they are at the moment, which is really quite challenging.
Right. So, because, you know, if they go on this eight week journey, they could lose as little as 8 pounds and as much as 15 pounds in that period of time.
Yep. Okay, cool. All right, so that is on, again, youcan'teatlove.com, the website. And if you do want to contact Leslie, I'll just show you Leslie's contact email is Leslie, L-E-S-I-E, at youcan'teatlove.com. So that's nice and easy to find out. But that's about it. Let's just wrap it up. Awareness, we have to go through awareness first. So acknowledge that while you're eating it, start to reflect on that, get an understanding of what you're doing. You said to write it down, write down your thoughts and what you're doing. Create some sort of little goals and reward yourself for those little goals.
Exactly.
And that will sort of keep you going. So that's yeah, I think that's fantastic. I love it.
Well, not as much as I love you. I love listening to you.
Now, Leslie, anything else you want to put forward before we finish up?
Well, I just want to say to everyone who is listening, if you think that you are broken, if you think that, you know, you're lacking anything, I just want to say to you, until you believe in yourself, I will believe in you, because you are enough just exactly as you are. You have everything inside of you that you need. You just need to believe, as much as I do, that you are enough.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that was lovely. Thank you so much. And it is, it's so true. We are all enough, but it's hard to believe that when you're first starting the journey. And that's why connecting with people like Leslie, connecting with people, you know, even podcasts and that, you start to get that understanding that, yes, you are enough, and that helps you in your journey. I know in my day, and probably in your day too, when we were coming through, when I was coming through that journey, we didn't have this sort of help. You had to really nail down and do it yourself, and it was such a challenge. It was so hard, and you didn't feel you had anyone else that was doing the same journey as you, and you felt a little bit crazy and you felt a little bit unsure. So guys, you've got all this support now that can help you. And even if it is just listening to a podcast and getting that positive vibe come through and go, well, okay, no, I'm not on my own. I'm not crazy. There's people out there that you can talk to, just talk to. And that's what's really lovely. So I want to thank you so much, Leslie, for being on the show. I want you to stay online, and I'll talk to you after I finish the closing, if that's okay.
That is fine. And thank you so much for having me.
No worries at all. So I will do the final little bit. Wasn't that amazing? She is an amazing lady. I mean, yeah, I'm so lucky to have this podcast, because I am meeting such incredible people and they're so helpful for you. But that's me. Subscribe to the podcast if you don't want to miss a thing. We are on TV, web TV show, The Art of Intuition as well. Just finished a lovely workshop on Monday for the football team. Yes, I did a football team. It was all about performance anxiety. They did their flowers and we did the readings, and the coach just loved it, absolutely loved it, because he learned how to motivate the girls. And they're in the semi-finals this weekend. But what we didn't do was look properly at performance anxiety. So the girls sent me their photos, a picture of their flower, and we walked through the performance anxiety. So you can see that all on the YouTube station too, The Art of Intuition. But that's me. I'm talking too much again. I'm going to say bye for now. See you next week, and have a great week. Bye for now. Right, done. Now, what I need to do is take a photo. So, do you want to take your ear?